The title of this message is Faith, Source, Purposes, and Results. This message is based on Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listening time is approximately 36 minutes.
The title of our message is Faith, Source, Purposes, and Results. Now, you probably have heard messages on faith many, many times. And if you were to look up in the Bible, all the verses that have faith in it, you'll probably find hundreds of them. And yet, I think faith is one of the most misunderstood words, concepts in the Scriptures. And yet, you know, it's very fundamental. And so I'd like to take an in-depth look at faith in the time that we have. I don't know if you remember, but many years ago, there was a famous French tightrope walker. And when the Twin Towers had been finished, he snuck up there and stayed overnight with some friends, and they used a little cannon to fire a projectile across from one tower to the other with a rope, and then pulled the cable across and tightened it. And the next morning, as people were arriving to work and looked up, we saw a little ant between the two towers. And then they began to realize it was somebody walking back and forth and back and forth. Well, you know, the towers move when there's wind between there. I don't know about you, but my legs start to get real rubbery just even thinking about it. And they were going to have him arrested, but the owners of the building and the managers were getting so much TV coverage. And they needed a lot of attendance in the building. And so it was a lot of free advertising, so they just coaxed them to come off the cable and to come down and get a press conference and whatever. Well, sometime later, he decided to do it across Niagara Falls. And you're probably wondering what it have to do with faith. Well, as he walked back and forth, he came to the one side where it had been anchored, and there was a little boy there. And he said, "Do you believe that I can take this wheelbarrow with me back and forth across there? Do you have faith in that?" "Yes, I do," he said. "Get in." "Get in." "Oh, no." You see, did he really have faith or didn't he have faith? And that's one thing we're going to learn, that faith is unique to ourselves and unique to any other believer or non-believer. Faith isn't something that's within somebody else that I need to get, or I need to believe in this or that. And I think there's a lot of abuse that comes. Now, there's another term we have to put with faith, or we can't even get started into God's plan, because remember, his whole plan is really restoration. Most of the Old Testament is God's plan for restoration. It's pictures of Christ in the Old Testament and what he would do on the cross. And so you say, well, how can people be saved in the Old Testament days? Because the cross hadn't taken place. But you see, their salvation was their relationship with God. That's our salvation. Yes, sin is involved, but it really, it's a relationship with God, and the reason we can't have the right relationship is because of Adam and Eve's sin poisoning the head of humanity, and so anybody born after that time would be born with a sinful nature. Everybody has a sinful nature. We just read in Romans 4 about Abraham, so why are we talking about Abraham at this time? Well, because God mentioned faith and Abraham dealing with faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So faith is extremely important. So if I were to ask you, define faith, let's start there. How would you define faith? Because God says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Some we can't feel, touch, smell, and whatever. So how are we going to define it? Well, the Bible defines it for us. It said things hoped for but not seen. So, think about taking your hand and grabbing some air and opening your hand and seeing if it's still there. That's kind of like faith, isn't it? It's very hard to get a handle on it because if it's things hoped for but not seen, Can we really discern faith? Well, that's a biblical definition, but let's look a little deeper now into its source, and that's singular. Do you know that faith is a gift from God to every person? Now, in the Bible, we don't find in the Old Testament the specific word that says about God giving faith to non-believers. But how can you be saved if it's grace through faith? And that's how Old Testament believers were saved, by grace through faith. Grace was provided by God. Now, people think that grace is the cross and that's it. Remember, with God, whatever he has planned to do in his mind has already been accomplished. The world's not going to be able to fool God, be able to stop God from fulfilling his purposes. No way. Satan has tried and tried and tried from the very beginning. He's tried to destroy the messianic line of Christ. You can see that in the Old Testament over and over again. When the Jewish babies were killed, the time of Jesus, the same thing. King Herod said, well, where is this king? The time the Magi came, it was 2 years later, not in the pageant where they show up the same nights with the shepherds. They came about 2 years later. And they came to worship, and Herod said, well, tell me where, and I'll come and worship too. Well, he wanted to kill Jesus. And so the Magi did not return, and so he thought, okay, it's been about 2 years, so I'm going to have every child 2 years and under killed, because they were trying to get rid of the Messianic line. And also, people that God calls up to serve in mighty ways, Satan tries to destroy that, and he's also your enemy. Will try to destroy you from your faith being exercised and growing. Grace is a gift, but grace was in the Old Testament as well. That's an unmerited favor from God. Before I was saved, I received grace, blessings from God, didn't you? And we certainly received a lot of mercy. I know if I didn't have a lot of mercy before I got saved, I wouldn't have lived long enough to get saved. And maybe some of you were really nice, gentle teenagers and didn't try any risky, dairy, adventurous thing, jumping off of this and that and everything else. But how many times did you avoid a car wreck and you didn't even know it? Many, many times things happen that we don't even know that happened, and God has protected us. Let's look a little bit at Abraham then. Was he saved by grace through faith? Yes. But the cross had not taken place, so how did all that work? Well, where was his faith? Was it in the sacrifice? Did he put faith in the blood of animals? Are we to put our faith just in the shed blood of Jesus? Isn't there more to it than that? Yes, there's a lot more to it than that. Their faith was in God, and their obedience was to the sacrifice, because that's what God said to do. So they were being obedient to God, but their faith was in God, believing that God is who he says he is and honoring him. Now, there are two big words here that you may have heard: to submit and surrender. And they're both different. If you have never submitted to the authority of God, you're never going to be able to reach the next step beyond salvation. See, if you can come into God's kingdom through salvation by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and the wrath that God would pour out on you was poured out on Jesus. He's your substitute. Absolutely, you have salvation then. But sanctification is the Christian life. To be set apart from the world unto God, to be set apart from fear to joy, from darkness to light, from yourself to God and to others, become before you and not focusing on you. You see, because when you're focusing on God and you're focusing on others before yourself, you know what's going to do? What's going to happen? God is going to take care of you. But you bind the hands of God from really blessing you when you focus on yourself. If you submit to the authority of God's word, all of it, even if you don't understand it, not what some church says or written in their doctrine, if the doctrine doesn't agree with the scriptures, They say you must have a second blessing, speak in tongues, and validate your salvation, or you really aren't saved, and you can't do any leadership work in our church. It doesn't say that in the Bible, so you know that's a heresy. So you want to submit to the entire Word of God. That's your authority. But surrendering, that's your will. That's the problem, isn't it? Whose will? Mine or God's? Well, Abraham had done those things. Hopefully you submit once and for all. You don't start questioning the Word of God. You may not understand it, that's fine. But to say, well, Romans, I don't know if that's really part of the Word of God, tear it out because it says something about homosexuals and I don't think that's good. And it says something over here and all this, and so you start tearing all the Bible up. Well, then you have not submitted to the authority of God. Even though God has given you a measure of faith, you're going to have difficulty exercising that faith. You see, that's what the issue is. And to each person, a different measure has been given. And to who's been given a lot is required. So don't compare your measure of faith with somebody else. I can guarantee you don't know the measure you have. You really don't. Because God has given everybody enough to receive the grace of God through the faith. Now, the word through implies that something has to happen, right? It didn't say go around something. It said through it. That's our faith being exercised. We have to step out. We have to make a step. The grace has been provided. God provided that. He stepped out first. And now we need to take some action by stepping out in faith, recognizing the need for our salvation. But then what about the sanctification process? That's the pruning that goes on, chiseling away, sandpapering away, and sometimes it's very painful. But the more we are submissive, that we really want His will, the less painful it is. Because if you're trying to run away, you ever tried to discipline your child and they try to run away? Try to get away from you and you're trying to swat them or something like that, and they might get hit on the knee when they were trying to hit their rear end or something. Or if you're in surgery, you certainly don't want to be moving around. That's one reason they sedate you, is so you don't get scared and frightened and whatever and make a mess out of the whole thing. How does this sanctification work? Well, if apart from faith, it's not going to work. You're going to be afraid. You're afraid to step out. And afraid to exercise that which you've been given. You see, God has given us other principles in the Scripture. He said, I'll never give you any more than you can endure. You know, Psalm 23, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Right, He allows us to go through valleys that seem like it's death, but it's really not. And it's a shadow there because God's there with us. But He is trying to grow us up. Now, you can't be having faith in your faith. I counsel people who try to do this and say, well, I need to get up enough faith so I can exercise my faith. That doesn't really make much sense, does it? I don't know if this is a good analogy, but you know, God has given us a vehicle. Through grace, we have our eternal security. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, but you need fuel, right? Having a nice shiny car in the garage doesn't do much good. And so you convince your husband or your wife or your best friend to push the car, and you sit in the car. Well, that's what some people do. They have not exercised their faith. They don't understand it. They're afraid or whatever. And they try to do it their will and their way. And it creates frustration. And sometimes God will come along and say, what are you doing pushing this car? You see, I have provided this for you, but I have also provided you with the faith to live the Christian life. Yes, you'll be persecuted. The Bible's full of that. Jesus said, look what they did to me. If you follow me, that's going to happen. And if you don't have those things happening, you're not going to be able to be sanctified because you're going to be comfortable in the world, you see, because God is trying to make our world uncomfortable for us. Do you know that? Sometimes he turns the heat up, and sometimes he turns it down, so we're too hot or too cold. Are we going to have faith? I know when I went to Morocco and found out they had no air conditioning or heating. And Morocco can get up to 100 and some in the summer and down like here in the winter. And I thought, oh, how is this going to work, Lord? Well, I believe that he called me there. I said, I know you will take care of my body, that I am going to not suffer through this. And so I didn't even think about it. And then I was thinking, how can I? Wow, it's really 102 and like 90% humidity. And I'm riding in a cab with seven people, really crowded, and it's hot and sticky. And I felt fine. You see, because if I had worried about it, then my mind is focusing on the discomfort, but there wasn't discomfort. I think it was because I'd exercised some faith in that area. And you see, the other big thing about faith is righteousness. Remember, it was credited to Abraham as righteousness by exercising his faith. Now, Abraham didn't start out with great faith, did he?
What about Moses and his faith, or the lack of it?
Do you remember after he was 40 years old, he saw the Egyptians abusing some of the Hebrews, and he went and killed an Egyptian. He was going to start the deliverance his way, and then he got scared and ran away. Backside the desert for 40 years, got married and had children, and then he had that burning bush experience. And of course, he had great faith, right? He just walked up there and said, sure, God, I'll go back to Egypt. No, he said, oh, surely it can't be me. And he had all this convincing of God. No, you must have gotten the wrong person. See, we have been led to believe so many times, not just by other people telling us, but by our own ideas, that if there's a person in the scriptures, that they started out with great faith. And that's not true. Because you know what God is going to do, if he's going to use you, he's going to prepare you. For whatever he has called you to, he will prepare you, and he will give you the faith that it takes to do it. I know that's true. I've had it happen over and over in my life. So the source is from God. Don't pray to get more faith, because that is a lack of faith. Right? If you're praying for more faith, you are faithless. Does that make sense? Yes. Because God says, I've given you faith, and now I'm calling you to do this. You step out. And what do? Walk blindly? No, because then the Holy Spirit will lead you. What about that verse in the Psalms? There's a lamp at my feet, not on my head, not in my hand. Why is it at the foot? It's symbolic now. The lamp is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and it's that kind of lamp that reflects forward. It's only shining in one direction, not all the way around. God's not going to lead you in three directions at once or two. No, one direction. But it may change. You may be going north for a while, and then he wants you to go west. That's why you have to keep your eyes on the lamp. In other words, listen, be in tune for the Holy Spirit. But as you're walking, you are exercising your faith, and you're looking for the hand of God to be leading you. So when it says, walk by faith and not by sight, we're not saying we have blind faith. That's not what he's saying at all. Just literally close your eyes and walk across Dobson. And if you got hit, you didn't have enough faith. Right? Or you have an illness, and you believe that there's a certain person somewhere that's called a faith healer. Or you will turn on TV and you see somebody doing certain things, and you start believing in that person that they have this gifting. No, they don't have that gifting as a faith healer. Absolutely not. See, what happens is the person doing the so-called healing, God's the healer, is calling attention to himself or herself for one thing. And God is always more interested in healing what? Your body, your emotions, or your soul? Always the soul. He will always be available for the spirit and the soul part to be healed. And then maybe others will follow, and certainly the emotions will follow when the soul is healed and right. Absolutely, the emotions do. But if you start working from the other direction, I'm not saying you don't pray for issues of health. I'm not saying that. But you want to start thinking about your relationship with God. What kind of relationship do I have with God? Have I prayed? If you haven't prayed, and then you ask other people to pray, that demonstrates a lack of faith. So it's very easy to have a lack of faith. And then it's easy sometimes to go to the other extreme and say, well, I'm just trusting God, and you don't have any discernment, and you do very foolish things that are in violation of other parts of God's word. You need to know the principles of Scripture. God's not going to defy himself, right? If it's wrong today, it's wrong tomorrow. If it's right today, it's right tomorrow. God's not changing. That's why we can know his word and stand on those principles. So it's not that kind of blind faith. What it is trusting in God, listening for the Holy Spirit's prompting and leading. And then God will correct us along the way if we didn't quite hear him and discern it right. That's where grace and mercy comes in. So don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid of stumbling and falling and making mistakes and that sort of thing. Even if it happens to be a sin that is not intentionally done. Absolutely. I think that's why so many times we're so afraid to do things. And one of the other things is that you anticipate. Because Satan works on our mind. That's the gate he works on. And so we already have a belief that is false. Well, I can't do it, but somebody else can do it. I can call that person to pray, I know God will hear. But I don't know if he'd hear my prayer because I don't have elegant words. Well, what's wrong with help, God? I need help. I don't understand this. I'm feeling so sick, I don't know what to do. Help. What's wrong with that? Remember the publican and the Pharisee praying and how Jesus rebuked the Pharisee? He was saying, oh, I'm so thankful, God, that I'm not like this man over here. I'm doing everything right. And that other man didn't even look up to heaven. He just said, God, help me, I'm a sinner. That's the prayer God will hear. Absolutely. So we don't want to be afraid of exercising our faith. And after a while, it becomes natural to us that we just do it. And the more we exercise it, the more he will give. So the source is from God and it's a gift. But what about the purposes? Well, there's salvation and there's living the Christian life. Apart from faith, you cannot successfully live the Christian life. And when you have fear coming in, you need to do a checkup and say, wait a minute, where is my faith? Is my faith in my car? Is it in my bank account? Or even my friends? I know since I don't drive and sometimes I've gotten stranded and it's like, oh my gosh, everything's closing, I'm stranded. I don't have a cell phone. Wait a minute, Paul. You're telling God everything I don't have. That's what I was doing. Unfortunately, I get shocked and say, wait a minute, God knew the whole situation. I wonder what he's going to do. How is he going to work this out? Because I'm asking him to work it out. And I may meet somebody that he wants me to meet and share the word of God. You don't know what. I think we miss a great adventure in life when we want to have everything programmed to go our way. You see, because God's trying to make us uncomfortable in the world so that we will be comfortable with him and prepared to live with him. And without exercising that faith, we're not going to be growing our righteousness, which is being conformed to the image of Christ, being Christ-like. You know how the same thing can happen to two people and one person is totally devastated and another person is not? Does it mean that they're crazy and they're not being realistic? No, because it's where their faith is. And you will find out right away when something is pulled out from under you where your faith really lies. Is it with God or with the things that you can hang on to and that you have counted on? So those are the main purposes, salvation and sanctification, living that Christian life, allowing God to conform us to the image of Christ. But what are the results then? Well, we get credited as righteousness. That's certainly one of them. We can live a much more peaceful life. And it draws us closer to God. It cements that relationship with God. And James has said that without doing works, faith is dead. So it has something to do with something we do, but we don't work for our salvation. We don't work to please God. We don't work to please people so you can get an award or something like that. If you get one, that's fine. But that should not be our motive. Our motive is what God looks at. So what should it be then? What kind of result should we want? Faith so I can live a more peaceful life? No. We should always think in terms that it is given by God. I'm exercising it and I'm returning it to God. So through that, God is being glorified. He wants to be praised, honored, and glorified. And we're glorifying God when we say, don't look at me. I can't give this message. But if I put my faith and trust in God, I know He'll give us the message that He wants us to hear. You must have discernment. But don't look to other people, especially people that have a notoriety for healing people and doing all those sort of things. Because they always have a safety net. They will tell somebody, the reason you didn't get out of that wheelchair and walk is you didn't have enough faith. They always have an answer that you don't have enough faith. Now, can you imagine what that does to somebody? Have you ever had that happen to you? I had that happen to me in a church because of my eyesight. If you would just trust God enough, Paul, He would give you your sight back. I said, well, I was born with bad sight, so He made a mistake right off the bat. It just got a bit worse. Johnny Erickson Todd, if you know about her, got paralyzed. Yes, she went through hell, her journey, to recognize that God had a purpose in this. Not that God did it, but He's going to make a blessing out of it. She has reached millions of people around the world, even remote areas, to give encouragement. You see, many places in the world, you won't see a wheelchair. You'll see people crawling. Or maybe somebody got some coasters or some kind of wheels and made something that they could kneel on and use their hands to get around, or whatever. I've seen children in Morocco like that. Our country has a safety net, many of them, to help people out. Many places in the world do not. And so she has reached people. Now, it doesn't mean we have to have that great infirmity, but I know I've been encouragement to some people because of my eyesight loss. Here, whatever it can be. And it may not be something even physical. Who knows? But we all have something where we're lacking. That somebody has a greater ability in that than we have, and so on. Because God wants us to work together. That's what the church is all about, to work as a team. And so we all want to exercise the faith that God has given us. And I encourage you to do that. Don't pray for God to give you more faith, or for Him to exercise the faith He's already given it, because that is a lack of faith. So how do you get started in exercising your faith? Step out. Just step out. If there's something that you have thought about doing, and you're fearful because you don't think you're good enough, whatever it be, do it. Don't look at yourself. You know the number one fear in America? Might be different today than when I had it researched years ago. I think it's still probably one of them. The fear of doing what I'm doing right now, standing up in front of a group and talking, giving a presentation. That's the number one fear. And you know why it is that? Because we look at ourselves and we look at other people and say, I wonder what they think. Well, I think it's great if you, quote, like the message, but I think it's much more important if God likes it, if it's what God wants. I hope you agree with that. Because, see, God knows what you need. He knows what I need. This message is for me as much as you. One reason I recorded, I listened back many times, and I hear things I didn't hear when I was giving the message. But you just need to step out. And I would encourage you, one thing that you maybe were fearful of. I can give you another example. Go and visit somebody in the hospital or a nursing home and be like a chaplain to them. Read the Word of God. Pray with them and for them. And you say, well, I don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit knows what to pray. We've been told that we can have moanings and groanings and the Holy Spirit will take over. So that's faith. Step out. I remember, I'll close with this, first time on the mission field, I think it was the second Sunday, the pastor from the pulpit said, Paul, you give the prayer. It was a pretty good sized church, and I was sitting near the back, and the first thing that came to me was, how rude can you be? You didn't even ask me, and I'm not prepared to pray. Well, in split seconds, I heard the Lord saying, Paul, you don't pray to the church, you're praying to me. And you should be ready to pray at any time. So start. And that's what it did. And the first thing I thought of, well, okay, dear Heavenly Father, I didn't know what was coming next. But you see, I got my eyes off of myself, off of the people, and onto Jesus. Like Peter on the water, the reason he sunk, he started looking at the world around him and himself, worrying about that. Got his eyes off of Jesus. Literally got his eyes off of Jesus, and that happened. And it can happen to us spiritually and symbolically as well. And that's what I do. When somebody asks me to pray, first thing I think about, okay, Lord, let it be your prayer. And just start out with the greeting. Dear Heavenly Father, whatever greeting you want to start with. And listen to the small, still voice. And he'll pray through you. And that's the same way with faith. To step out. Trust God. But if you haven't submitted to his authority, his word, and you're not submissive, it's your will and not his will. Just think of how many times we'll go under the knife of a surgeon, and yet we won't submit to the authority and the will of God to do something that he's called us to do. Don't ever have faith in your doctor. Always have faith in God. You can trust your doctor by having confidence in him, certainly. But always trust God. Don't trust anything else, anybody else, as far as faith is concerned. You want faith to be in God first and always, because he's the author of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've thought about everything. You've given us everything we need to come into your kingdom. You gave us yourself. Father, and then to live the Christian life and to grow more to the image of Christ, be conformed to that. You've provided that too by faith. And faith is not ending, Father. It's like a muscle. We need to exercise it. And we can begin to start crawling, and then we can walk, and then we can begin to run, Father, in faith. It doesn't matter how old we are and how bad our legs really are, but faith-wise, we can run, Father, because we can do whatever you called us to do. You don't tempt us. You're not going to put us in a position where we fall on our face. No way. Father, that's an exciting thing. I can recall certain things when I exercised faith for a long period of time on a major trip, being handicapped or with eyesight and changing planes, flying around the world and everything, Father. What an awesome time that was, and how people helped and all the experiences I had, Father. I just pray that you'll instill it upon every one of us that forget about getting older physically, Father. We got to forget about that. We got to start exercising the faith you've given us and think about it as a great adventure, Father. Because it is, and it's a safe adventure to be on, because you're guiding it, and you're directing it, and you're protecting it, and nobody is going to harm us that you haven't allowed. That we're safe in your hands, Father, and you're not going to let go of us. Because, Father, it's not about us hanging on to you. It's you hanging on to us. You've made all the provisions that we need. Father, we just need to get serious and want your will. And then step out in faith, Father. So we just thank you that you are such a loving God. You provided everything we need to live the Christian life and to have that perfect relationship with you right here and now, not just when we go into your presence physically, Father. Thank you for each and every one that came this evening. Still upon them what you want from this message about faith in their life, Father, and that they begin to step out where they haven't, where you have called them, and they'll see a great opportunity and a great blessing that comes from that, Father. As they become a blessing and glorify you, they also receive many, many blessings. We pray all this in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.